Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards, 1239, wanted to spend a little time with a food time segment like we always do, our award-winning All Things Edible program that's heard every Sunday at this time. All that anybody has been talking about was, what they're doing and what I can do with what's available during the COVID-19 pandemic. What's available in the stores? The shelves, in many cases, are still empty. People are at home and are cooking more. What do you do? I've been doing lots of cooking, both at home. I'm cooking up a storm at home. I made a fantastic split pea soup, I got to say, last night. I did an Easter ham the other day and had a great ham bone and some bits and pieces of ham that I'll never use. Because you're basically cooking for yourself when you make an Easter ham. So I thought, I'll make some soup and enjoy some and freeze some. Turned out fantastic. But I've been doing a lot of cooking on TV, on our WGN TV morning news as well. We've got all the recipes up at WGNTV.com/Dean's List. You can see all of my cooking segments. You can see all of the recipes. But I also wanted to spend a little time with David Tamarkin, who is an editor with Epicurious.com. This is one of my favorite food culinary sites with fantastic recipes that I've signed up, David, for all of your notifications. So I get all of your recipes as they come out during the day. I stop what I'm doing. I check them out. It's been fantastic for me during this time of self-isolation. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Dean. Your soup sounds delicious, by the way.
Turned out, I got to say, I haven't made split pea soup in decades. I was so happy with it. It came out fantastic, and perfect for people who are having an Easter ham today. You got that fantastic bone that gives off so much flavor, right? When you make a nice split pea soup.
Yeah. You got to have that. I mean, if you're vegetarian, you don't have to have it, but if you eat ham, you got to put the ham bone in.
Yeah, it adds so much. You've been doing something called cooking through it, which is a little bit like quarantine cooking, I guess. People have been saying, and what to do during this time of social isolation. Explain what cooking through it is.
So cooking through it is a 10-day meal plan, but it's a very, very flexible meal plan. We were thinking at Epicurious, what could we do for people, who are in isolation and cooking? And, not everybody is like you and I, Dean. Like, not everybody can kind of takes. Not everyone is an experienced cook, and some people need a little more direction than others. And so the idea here is that we give 10 recipes. They're all very flexible, and with each recipe, we're giving all the ways that you can riff on the recipe. So, for example, if there is a sheet pan dinner where you're throwing, like, some sausage and some kale and some potatoes on a sheet pan, we tell you, if you don't have sausage, you can use, tofu if you don't eat sausage. And if you don't have potatoes, you can use, almost any recipe. You can use sliced fennel, you can use cubed squash. Giving people the flexibility to use whatever they can find in the grocery stores, because as you just said, the grocery stores are still not 100% reliable. There's food there, of course, but you don't know exactly what you're going to get. I was there this morning, and it was, there's tons of collard greens, but no flour. So it's just, so we're doing this. So we did 10 days starting on April 1st. And then tomorrow we're doing another round. So we have the recipes up on Epicurious, and people can cook with us day by day.
Another 10 days worth of recipes. What are some other ideas for sheet pan? That's very popular now. Sheet pan cooking. Mm-hmm. Give us a couple of examples of things that we may want to do on the sheet pan. I love that idea, mostly because everything is sort of self-contained, and it's just one thing to clean up afterwards instead of a lot of things to clean up.
Right, right. So on day three of cooking through it, you know, starting on Monday, we have sheet pan chicken with tomatoes and mozzarella.
Oh, nice.
In the office, we refer to this as pizza chicken because that's basically what it tastes like. You have chicken breast and you have a bunch of cherry tomatoes that in the oven kind of break down and get jammy and juicy. You have mozzarella on there that gets all melty. We throw some red onion on top near the end. The key with sheet pan dinner is that you can add things in stages, and that's important to keep in mind because things cook at different times. So one of my other favorite sheet pan dinners is the one I referred to before. It's sausage, potatoes, and kale. And you can put, you know, small potatoes or sliced in half potatoes and sausage. That can go in at the same time. But then, you know, after that's been in the oven for 20 minutes, you take some kale or any greens, any hearty green you have, toss it in a little oil, and put that on top of the sheet pan just to get it wilting. Actually, it gets a little crispy, which is really nice.
Yeah, that sounds.
And then it's done. So, like you said, everything's ready at the same time, but you don't have to put everything in at the same time. You can add things in stages. So the quicker cooking things go in later in the process.
Yeah, and you can modify this to your own taste. Some people, I don't know why people don't like kale. I think it's delicious. And especially roasted like that, where it gets a little crispy, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe you want to put slice up some squash and put that on there, or some broccoli, or some baked cauliflower on there would be delicious.
You can basically, I mean, I think any vegetable, basically, when you roast it at a high heat, you toss in a little olive oil and roast it at a high heat, it all gets delicious. So you can't really go wrong with a sheet tray of roasted vegetables and some protein, like some sausage or some chicken.
I don't know what's happened to me lately. I'm on a eggplant kick. It's like I cannot get enough roasted eggplant. I'm cooking it like twice, three times a week. It's so good when it's baked, and then depending on what you do with it later on, I'm going to sheet pan it. I've not been sheet panning it. I've been doing some other methods with it. What else? What are some of your other recipes for cooking through it?
Yeah. Well, speaking of eggplant, we have a recipe. Day eight of cooking through it is basically a whipped ricotta bowl, and you can throw anything on it. So we love this idea of kind of hearty, they're not quite sauces, but like hearty bases. So you can use hummus, or you can use whipped ricotta, you can use Greek yogurt, and that's the base of your meal. It's on, you kind of spread it in a shallow bowl or on a plate, and then you top it with anything delicious. And so one thing that we love to do is to do ricotta. You season it with olive oil and some salt and pepper and whatever else you want to season it with, and you put some roasted eggplant on top. Maybe whatever herbs you have, mint would be great on that, or parsley, of course, even do cilantro. You know, a little squeeze of lemon or lime, and, you know, you have a really delicious vegetarian meal right there. You could also, of course, put, you know, any protein on that. You could put, you know, fry up some chorizo and put that on top. That would be really good. So the idea here is that it's a truly, truly flexible meal, as long as you have a base of some, you know, kind of some creamy base, you can put anything on top of it and it becomes a meal. And what I love about that one is what I love about eggplant roasted is, like what you were saying, it gets the texture of eggplant gets so great in the oven because it kind of gets a little crispy on the edges, but it gets custardy on the inside. That's what is so great about eggplant. I love eggplant.
Yes, exactly.
And it's, another one I want to mention is, because you mentioned the split pea soup, a lot of people are cooking beans right now, and I want people to realize that split peas, if you have split peas in your pantry, kind of hunt through your pantry, you might have some. That is such a great option. It's so good for you, and it's so delicious, and you can either go the split pea soup route like you went, or you could go kind of an Indian dal route, you know, which is basically just, you know, sort of similar, but you're using different spices, Indian spices. And I love a bowl of dal over rice. I think that is so delicious. You know, season it with cumin and chili flakes and, you know, basically any spice you want, really. We do a lot of that in my house because it is really nutritious. It's very affordable, you know, and it's just easy. I mean, it's just as easy as kind of mixing, you know, beans and water and just letting it cook.
And often, you know, again, it's about availability, what's in the stores right now. And, you know, the pickings are slim in a lot of the grocery stores in the meat department. You know, and even when you go to the produce department, you know, it depends on what time of day. You got to find out when you go there, ask the people who work there, what time do your shipments come in? You want to be there when those shipments come in, because the things are going fast in the stores. What about eggs? I mean, I noticed that one of the recipes that you have for cooking through it for this week are eggs for dinner. What would be some good options with that? That's such a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if I did not have eggs, I went to the store this morning and I got 3 dozen eggs because I ate so many eggs. But what we think is a great dinner is frittata, or, you know, or you might know it as a Spanish tortilla. Basically, some potatoes that you're cooking. You can either boil the potatoes and then kind of cube them or slice them, and then whisk up some eggs. You maybe about, if you have, you know, 8 eggs, that would be nice. Put the potatoes in a cast iron skillet, warm them up a little bit, pour the egg mixture over it, and you kind of bake that. And then you have this frittata. And then, of course, you can put anything, like everything I'm saying, you can put anything in that frittata, any herb. I actually like to put a little yogurt in. I like to swirl in a little yogurt at the very end before I put it in the oven. It kind of creates a little creamy layer in there. Obviously, you could put bacon in there, some cooked bacon. You could put any cooked sausage, pulled chicken, anything, really, any vegetable too, red peppers, tomatoes. But basically, this frittata is, you know, perfect. It's a perfect dinner if you eat it with a little salad. I also love a frittata sandwich, which is a very typical thing in Italy. You know, you have a soft roll and put a slice of this frittata in the roll with, you could eat it with mayonnaise or a little hot sauce or both. I mean, that is a really delicious, sort of decadent lunch or dinner. So I think at this time, eggs for dinner is going to be really appealing for a lot of people, because the fast, you know, they're easy. You probably have eggs. You know, most refrigerators in this country have eggs in it. And, you know, it sort of takes the pressure off. Like, this is not a time. You know, some people are going to use this time to do project cooking and project baking. Like, right now, I have 2 loaves of sourdough proofing in my oven. Like, I'm a project cook. You know, Dean, you're a cook. You like cooking. But a lot of people are maybe stressed out about cooking. And to give them the freedom to be like, you know what? Just scramble up some eggs with some vegetables, put it on some toast. That is a perfectly good dinner. That's important to get out there, because, you know, we want the least amount of stress in our lives as possible right now.
It's a really good idea. And, you know, the health opinions have changed about eating eggs and the amount of cholesterol that you're getting. I mean, if you eat them in a fair amount of moderation, you're going to be okay. That's pretty much the case with anything, of eating in moderation. But, you know, some eggs, maybe some leftover potatoes, vegetables, things like that. It's a fantastic dinner, and it makes it very easy. I agree with you that it's not for everybody, though. You know, a lot of people who are juggling with their kids right now and doing homeschooling right now, and they got a million other things going on right now. The last thing they want to do is anything complicated in the kitchen. Personally, I find it extremely cathartic and relaxing, even. You know, after a stressful week, a difficult week, you know, bad news, the anxiety of COVID-19, et cetera, get me in my kitchen and let me build something, and I feel my stress level go down. So some people are like that. Some people would rather have some dinty more beef stew and call it a day.
But, I mean, I'm with you, and I think that a lot of people are going to find themselves in the kitchen because of this crisis. And what I mean by that is that I think there are a lot of people who probably were not cooking very much before, who are going to discover what they do like about cooking. And I think after this crisis is over, you know, of course I want people to support restaurants, and I'm very concerned about the restaurant industry and I want us to support them. But I think we're going to have a lot more home cooking after this, because people who perhaps didn't know that they enjoyed home cooking or didn't know that they could do it are now kind of in the weeds and learning how easy it is and for some of us how enjoyable it is.
So
it's sort of a silver lining.
Yeah, I'm wondering today, because it's, you know, the most peculiar Easter Sunday that we've ever had. You know, like, for example, you know, I made this Easter ham because I just wanted to have one. You know, at home, it's Easter time. You're self-isolating. And even a small shank of ham is like 7 pounds, 8 pounds. That's a lot of ham. So I think people are going to be, you know, they're going to be left with a lot of leftovers unless they're making care packages and sending it out to family and friends. Right. What would be some good leftover recipes? Do you have a couple of ideas of things that we might do with this extraordinary amount of leftovers we're probably going to have this year?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, sliced ham is really easy to leftovers and go into so many things. I mean, obviously, one of the best things you can do with it is make a sandwich out of it. And I love, if you made biscuits today, biscuits are really easy, or even if you get like the canned biscuits. I mean, I love a biscuit ham sandwich, and I will eat that, you know, all week to use up my ham. But I could also, I think, thinking of it as a way to add flavor to stir-fried vegetables. So if you have, let's say, green beans or potatoes or even sweet potatoes or just even some greens like collards or kale, you want to kind of chop up some ham finely and throw that in the skillet first, get it a little bit crispy, sort of, it'll get crisp up and it'll be a little bit like bacon and it'll add flavor to the skillet and add a little flavor to those vegetables. That's a really nice way to use up the ham. I also just love a hash. I mean, I think a hash is another thing that's on the Cooking Through It program next week, actually, as a sort of breakfast for dinner thing. You know, we think of hash as a breakfast thing, but all a hash is vegetables and, you know, a little bit of, you know, usually some pork or something, onions. It's just vegetables, and so you can eat it any time. Actually, I love the idea of making a hash with some leftover Easter ham, whatever, you know, potatoes and vegetables you have, and eating it in tortillas like a taco or, you know, or just like you would any hash, you know, like we talk about eggs, kind of crack an egg over it and put it in the oven until the egg is set and eat it like that. Really, I just think we just throw it in almost everything. And that, of course, is the soup, like you did. I mean, using these little bits of ham, stirring it into the soup near the end because you don't want to overcook it, but, you know, throw a little bit of ham in any soup, really.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking of doing, you know, thinking like a sort of a pasta carbonara kind of thing with, you know, a nice pasta with some slices of ham and vegetables and, that, you know, like peppers, something like that. Super simple as another way of getting rid of some of this ham that apparently I'm going to have until the 4th of July now.
Yep. I mean, and you said pasta, which I think is really great, and that made me think of fried rice.
Right.
Basically, any way you would use bacon, I think you could throw in a little bit of ham, get that crust up there, and put in some fried rice. That'd be really good, too.
If people want to check out Cooking Through It, David, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, they can go straight to the website, the homepage, epicurious.com. It's all right there. And you can also check us out on Instagram. We're doing a lot on Instagram right now.
Good deal.
Just Epicurious.
David Tamarkin, who is the editor of epicurious.com. If you love food, you're going to love this site. David, have a great day today. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Easter.